The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, let's see what we get. We're going to go to storm-tossed North Carolina. Are you there, William?
Yep, and it's calm for now, but if it gets rocky, I may have to boogie.
Don't do that.
Well, we got severe thunderstorms tearing through the south. I hadn't heard about what's going on.
There were some big tornadoes in the upper Midwest yesterday, I think.
Well, we hadn't had those here yet. We've had severe thunderstorms and quarter-sized hail and all sorts of stuff like that. But, you know, it's been a big news day. It's something really big that we've been pushing for a long time has been unveiled today. And I know that a lot of people out there will be excited to know about this big development.
Let's have it. Roll it out.
Well, as many of you recall, recently a $30 ad, which only spent $12.50, turned into millions of dollars of exposure for the topic of non-citizen and illegal migrant voters. When the Twitter ads team decided to neutralize our ad at $12.50 being spent. And you know what? One of the people out there might be the lucky listener that donated that money to Alipac. You know, that was $12.50. That resulted in front page articles by the Washington Times, Newsmax, Breitbart, discussions on this show, other talk radio shows, probably millions of dollars worth of exposure, bringing attention to the plight or our concerns and evidence of non-citizens and illegal migrant voters, which we have launched through what we call Phase 2. We've created a new compilation point at the alipac.us website to make this information easier to access and more compiled and visible. And we've launched a new website called noncitizenvoters.com, which is where which hopefully elevating it further up on the web and providing folks out there listening with an easier thing to share. So you see somebody online repeating the standard talking points going up from the mainstream media anti-aircraft batteries today, saying non-citizen and illegal voters are extremely rare according to multiple studies. Just pop them the URL www.noncitizenvoters.com. Because we have prepared these tools and we are ready to fight. And today, Speaker Johnson and an Alipac endorsed Representative Chip Roy and a soon to be endorsed by Alipac Senator Mike Lee of Utah, along with Senator John Kennedy, several other representatives, several organization heads, such as Jenny Beth Martin of Tea Party Patriots, and Roseanne Jinks of, she's got a new group now. She used to be with Numbers, but she's got her own group. And several other groups had a big press conference on the steps, and Speaker Johnson walked out and said, hey, we know, and the American public knows, that non-citizens are voting. and there are no safeguards. It's already against the law, because the left runs out and says, it's already against the law for non-citizens to register. This is all just messaging. This is just those Republicans who want to steal the 2020 elections making a bunch of, you know, hoopla about nothing.
Yeah,
but Speaker Johnson, the Speaker of the United States House, on today, you know, May 8th, 2024, with all the cameras rolling, said, look, we have a problem. We know we have a problem. The public knows we have a problem. And 85 to 86% of the American public showed up in a poll recently being concerned or opposing non-citizen voters. And Representative Johnson, I thought, made a very good point. He said that the other 16% that may not have registered their support, making it completely unanimous, probably would by the time this discussion is over with. They've launched the bill. We had to fiddle around a little bit to get the name of it correct, but because one of them said American Voter Eligibility Act, and it's actually the safeguard. It is the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, SAVE. And this is also a little confusing because there's some other act about health care from a while back that's a SAVE Act.
I think they put the word safeguard on there so they could get the acronym.
Well, maybe so, but there was another SAVE, but it's the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, which is really long, and so you got to make it into something, you know, more acceptable, like SAVE, and we may come up with a better nickname for the bill in the hopefully not too distant future. We just sent out an email link to our email alert subscribers at alipac.us with the link to the video of the press conference. It's about 40 minutes long. You get the general gist in the very first few minutes of it, but we need people viewing that video, listening to that video, liking that video, sharing that video, making comments underneath that video, circulating that video by email and social media. Because the more people that actually watch that video clip and hear what is said at that podium, the clearer it will be, the better chances we have. Now, of course, the press comes up, and you can't really hear their questions, but you can tell what they're saying. They're saying, isn't this thing, doesn't it have no chance of passing in the Senate, you know? And I want to address that. I think it's entirely possible that we can get enough people, angry Americans, calling those phones to the United States Senate that we had when we stopped that amnesty bill a couple months ago, when they tried to make us all pay for the Ukraine and Israeli wars and every single thing that Joe Biden wanted to spend on illegal aliens, transportation, food, medical, housing, back-scratching. You know, we were able to kill that bill in the Senate. And nobody thought we could kill that bill in the Senate, but we killed that bill in the Senate. And if the Democrats want to line up and 100% vote straight down party lines, all 100% of those Democrats in the House and the Senate, let's make them vote on it. Let's get them on record, because there's only one reason to vote against the Safeguard America Voter Eligibility Act.
Who can force a vote like that? Can it be forced?
Well, in the House, Speaker Johnson's going to call it up for a vote, so that he's the Speaker of the House, and he can set the agenda there. I think that Mitch McConnell can, or there may be some other discharge commission that needs to happen. But, you know, we're going to get it. You know, right now we've got the text online, and we're going through the text of the bill to make sure that it's not a stinker, try to make sure there's nothing rotten in there.
You're actually going through the whole – how many pages is it? How big of a bill?
We just got it on screen. After we track down the official name, we got it on screen here.
Safeguard.
It's on
Mitch McConnell and Mike Johnson are in the headlines together here. I just saw
Well, Mitch McConnell wasn't at the press conference, and I don't think his name is on the bill at this time. But it's on Senator Kennedy and Lee's websites. And let's see here. It's not a very long. One, two, three. It just looks like this is about 22 pages, and according to the initial press reports on the subject, this is the main gist of it right here. I've got it in the non-citizen and illegal migrant voters section. It does the following. SAVE Act would, according to, let me just read a little bit of this to you guys. Current law makes it illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections, but it does not require states to obtain documentary proof of U.S. citizenship before an individual registers to vote. The SAVE Act would amend the National Voter Registration Act to clarify that states must require proof of citizenship when registering individuals to vote in federal elections. Quote, and this is Senator Kennedy speaking, U.S. citizenship is sacred, he says, and foreign nationals shouldn't be able to vote in America's election. The SAVE Act would ensure that people who aren't even citizens don't cancel out Louisianans and Americans' voices at the ballot box. Since the last presidential election, illegal immigrants residing in the U.S. have increased, making it even more necessary to make sure that everyone voting in American elections is a U.S. citizen. Senator Lee said that illegal immigrants and non-citizens across the nation are being improperly registered to vote, allowing them to cast illegitimate ballots in federal elections. At a time when trust in voting is more important than ever, we must stop foreign election interference and pass the SAVE Act. Now, Chip Roy says that the SAVE Act would also require states to establish a process to remove non-citizens from existing voter rolls. And that's a big deal. Now, whether we can get that type of process up and running in any states before November 1st, the vote in November, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we're going to try. That's the big thing. You know, if we could remove the non-citizens from the existing voter rolls right there, that would remove the number one way that these Democrats could continue to be able to steal the election despite being massively unpopular with the American public. Next thing Chip Roy said it's going to do is increase federal penalties for individuals who register non-citizens to vote in federal elections, and establish acceptable ways for individuals to prove their citizenship and require states to establish their own process of demonstrating citizenship when a person does not have the legal documentation. Now, so far, Senators Kevin Cramer of North Dakota is on the bill, Ted Cruz of Texas, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, Roger Marshall of Kansas, Ted Budd of North Carolina, thank you, Senator Budd, and Rick Scott of Florida are co-sponsors on the legislation. So we're warming our audience up tonight, talking about it, introducing it to people like they introduced it today on the steps. We introduced that with them to our email alert list and our social media pages where it's easy to share. And we're going to dig in on the text of the bill. We're probably going to go ahead and endorse Senator Mike Lee, because he's really been fighting hard on Twitter and other platforms on what appears to be our enforce the existing immigration laws agenda. Might include Senator Kennedy, and through the process of launching those new endorsements, raise awareness of both this legislation and our new websites for non-citizen voters and thousands of Americans killed. One of the things that's happened here, Jeff, was I was giving serious consideration to launching our Phase 3 on Monday or Tuesday of this week, where we launch a new plan to circulate this information to federal candidates and state candidates and begin an endorsement process, or a new streamlined endorsement process. But I'm glad I waited, because we're going to entwine this. We're going to figure out, well, if the bill holds up, we've got to read it, we've got to analyze it, dissect it, and make sure that it's going to receive our endorsement. And if we are going to endorse it, then we're going to do that formally. We need to try to figure out about when they plan to vote on this bill. Is there time to really beat the drums and get people committed to the bill, calling Congress, writing Congress, doing that type of thing? Is there time for me to go to D.C.? You know, we don't know right now, you know, if we have time to take activists on the ground behind this bill. But, you know, so we're going to go through the text. We're going to endorse, see if we can officially endorse the legislation, see if we can officially endorse Senator Mike Lee, get people on the phones, get the pressure campaign going in both the House and the Senate. Because you've seen it happen a lot of times with us, Jeff. I mean, we start doing something and we don't always get named in it.
Correct.
But
no, people,
you know,
people don't give you the credit you deserve.
Well, because we don't care about the credit. We just care about getting
it done. I understand,
but
it's still good notoriety, and you ought to get it because you deserve
it. Hey, look, there's a chance those guys were standing on that podium today, I mean, on those steps today, launching it today in reaction to the press coverage we generated last week on this. It's the type of thing where you can't see the cause and effect relationships a lot of times, but we've been promoting this material for a long time. We've been raising awareness about this for a long time. I also did a recent internal poll of Ali Pack supporters, and this particular issue, it gave me some insight. I don't want to give the whole enchilada out, and we're still accepting answers on it. But let me pull it up real quick, because one of the things that helped me do, Jeff, was spot where we have the most agreement within our supporter base, and
right.
where we don't. And I can share a little bit of where we have that agreement, if I can just pull up the survey here.
Are we thinking that Mike Johnson did something good or constructive?
I know that he's in hot water right now. He has mentioned doing this before today. He's mentioned doing something like this.
It might be a time that he'll do something that otherwise he wouldn't, because he is in trouble. Marjorie Taylor Greene has pulled the trigger, so to speak.
But the Democrats just saved Mike Johnson.
Yeah, of course. It's
a new paradigm.
He could, we're going to have Democrat-controlled Congress from now on out, probably, if any of this illegal voting comes to pass. It's obvious. Johnson could have moved to table and effectively killed the motion by Green, but apparently he didn't need to. What's the status of it right now?
I think it's been pushed back. I mean, all the Democrats voted against it. So Johnson is now currently protected by the Democrats.
That's correct. I hope all of you out there are listening carefully, because this is a big deal.
The label game has
been disrobed. Now everyone can see that the labels mean nothing.
But this bill that we're discussing could possibly do several things. Most likely, endear more Republican lawmakers to him at a time when he needs to rebuild that support, and two, alienate more Democrats from him, because the Democrats are not going to vote for this bill, and he has the power to force them to go on record against this bill, and they're not going to like that at all.
Who sponsored the bill?
What's that?
William, who sponsored the bill? In the first place,
I think Johnson and Roy. I haven't looked on the whole House sponsor list.
I think he was a co-sponsor. I think so. Anyway, okay.
All right. So out of the hundreds of people, I wish it was thousands, but so far hundreds of people in the Alipac.us email alerts have voted in our survey. These are the following support levels for the about 10 items we tested, and this is opposition check. Check all that apply. Do you oppose? On the topic of opposing funding for the feds to bring in more migrants, and we put quote on the migrants, 97.2% of our supporters on that list are against that. Funding for Ukraine, 74.5% of our Alipac supporters are against that. The lowest reading on what we sampled, and I don't want to get into these weeds tonight, but we found that only 39.7% oppose funding for Israel.
That's 40%.
The second lowest reading was on new anti-freedom of speech threatening anti-Semitism laws. Only 57.9% oppose that. Those are the two. The Israel, we have a lot of Christians at Alipac that are very supportive of Israel. But the biggest numbers came from no more funding for migrant importation, 85.5% opposing big tech censorship.
I wish it was 100%, William. I'm glad it's 85, but who could support funding for invaders? I don't get it.
You got to understand, there's some of our opposition on this list, too. They're opponents of Alipac and opponents of our...
They're opponents of America. I get it.
Yeah, and not everybody that opposes illegal immigration. I mean, the lead question, do you support Alipac's national mission against illegal immigration? 96.6% said yes, 0% said no, and 3.4% said undecided. So, but back to where we have the most support. You'll be glad to know that 95.2% oppose George Soros, 93.8% oppose amnesty, but the biggest number of all the data was 97.9% opposition to non-citizen voters. It is clearly the topic that we have. I didn't poll people if they opposed illegals killing, Americans, because, you know, we know where that's at. So, but it shows us that fighting against non-citizen voters is a place that we have the best opportunity to bring people together from different backgrounds, ethnicities, genders, religious faith, everything. And that's where we want to move on. That's where I think at this point, in the run-up to the November elections, that we need to move on. It's always been ALEPAC's mission to organize and collate with Americans of a wide range of different views and backgrounds against the illegal immigration invasion of America, because, you know, the leftist groups, the Soros groups, they're constantly trying to stir the mud up so that people can't do that. They're trying to cast doubts between people based on race and religion and everything else that they can do to divide us. And so moving on the non-citizen voters, we've got all the things in place for that. We're going to move on that. I'm hoping this bill is going to be something that from some of the people who are at the podium, some of the groups, some of the leaders, some of the representative senators, I think the chances are over 90% we're going to be okay with it. But then we've got to, you know, just because we support it one form, we have to protect it from amendment and protect it from the skullduggery that happens behind the scenes when all of a sudden you got one bill, then some staffer slips something in there, and then the next thing you know, it's a whole different ball of wax. So, but
correct.
This is big news. This is probably what happened today on the steps of the Capitol with Speaker Johnson and these other personalities that are elected officials and such that I mentioned. It's probably, at least in my time doing 2 decades doing this, that this is probably the biggest thing that's ever happened in opposition to non-citizen and illegal immigrant voters. It's a big deal. It's the biggest thing we've seen, and the fact it's happening and when we have a possible chance. See, and here's the thing. We want the bill to be passed along if it's the right bill. We want it to be implemented. We want to stop non-citizens from voting. But let's say
We have to stop invaders from voting. It shouldn't be a discussion.
But let's say that we fall short of that 100% goal. Let's say the bill gets passed.
If we don't defeat the Bolsheviks, we will fall short, and I don't see how you're going to defeat them. There's
right, well, I'm going to say something very positive about a positive impact we can have. You know, we're going to go for the full enchilada, but even if we fall short of the full enchilada or the bill doesn't even pass, the raised awareness, cognizance, and the things that are going to shake out during the fight over this legislation and drawing the lines for people between who would support illegals voting, there are a lot of positive benefits that could come out of this, even if the bill doesn't pass.
All right. Well, let's go into that a little bit more, maybe, if you want, after this break. We'll pause and see how he was being ethnically correct by saying enchilada there. Okay. Just want to make sure everybody caught that. Good job. The whole enchilada. Got it. Be right back with William in just a minute. Okay, welcome back. Talking with William. All right, well, that was an interesting point. You want to go on any further with that, or shall we move ahead?
Well, I mean, let's talk about the strategy, too. I mean, first of all, making the Democrats fight us on this is smart. I mean, they are fighting on this, and they're going to fight on this, okay, but this is, you know, what is it, Sun Tzu, Art of War, it's where we're strong and they're weak, and they're very, you know, as we saw with the banning of the ALEPAC Twitter ads account, they're very even if the bill doesn't pass, the awareness level of the vulnerability of the U.S. election system, which Speaker Mike Johnson accurately described at the press conference. It's in the announcement section at ALEPAC.us, and I sent a copy over to Jeff's email as well. The awareness level over the next several months as we run up this election is going to reach unprecedented levels. We're at an unprecedented level of public knowledge about this topic. We are light years beyond where we were in the last major 2020 and 2022 already with public knowledge. And that's not just public knowledge. That's going to be candidate knowledge. That's going to be campaign staffer knowledge. lawmaker, media knowledge. It's all going to, it's all, you know, the truth has power and the truth is on our side. And the Democrats are going to have to, they have to fight us on it. They can't let a bill like that pass without one hell of a fight, because the fact that they're trying to steal this election with non-citizen voters, we know that's true. And they know it's true.
I would only
and they know that we know that they know that it's true.
They're worse than non-citizen voters. That's my take.
I
despise
them.
They're being paid for by American listeners right now, taxpayers. They're flown into this country by an illegitimate regime that has overthrown the correct representative government that used to be in Washington, and they are literally stockpiling future soldiers to go out against Americans in case of a civil uprising. They're going to deputize these people, put them in uniforms, give them guns, and tell them to go shoot Americans. That's on the table. Anyway, I find this to be non-citizen voters. Understand why you're saying it that way. I would call them far worse than that.
They're being told, and this is there's apparently a loophole in the law, that even if you are a non-citizen voter under current law, you can't be prosecuted. And this is where it gets squirrely on us: is if there is a beyond, a, if the voter, what's the right word? Oh God, I just saw this today. If the voter had believed that they were a U.S. citizen, something, there's some stupid line in there about if you really believe that you were qualified as a citizen.
Yeah.
Now, because we're not dealing with the brightest people in the world, okay? They're not. This is not the, you know, I'm sure some of them are smart, but a lot of people who are being brought to the United States are not being brought here because of their brain power. They're not, the cartels are not shipping in engineers and doctors and anything like that. A lot of them are illiterate in their own language.
Yes, but William, it's not just the cartels. The cartels are playing patsy with the regime in Washington on this whole thing.
Exactly, you know. But look at what the wording is right here. I've had this on screen for over a week. Joe Biden calls illegal aliens, quote, model citizens while promoting amnesty. And this is from May 7th, John Bender at Breitbart. President Joe Biden declared illegal aliens enrolled and eligible for former President Obama's DACA amnesty model citizens during a Cinco de Mayo event at the White House.
Yeah, I know. It's despicable.
They're model citizens.
No, not of this country. No.
And he says the first bill I introduced was about DACA to make sure that they have a direct path to citizenship. So, and that's one of the reasons I think that, and I'm not saying we should be sympathetic to illegal invaders that steal U.S. elections, but these people are going to be corralled. They're going to have slimy Soros operatives all over them. They're going to have the gangsters all over them. They're going to have the Democratic Party auxiliaries all over them. They're going to have their employers and their employment unions all over them, telling them the same thing: you got to go vote. You got to. Well, not you don't have to go vote. They're going to probably not send many of them through the precinct doors. They're going to do a lot of this by mail. They're going to have handlers that make the, you know, make them sign the mail-in ballot.
Gotcha.
They'll be told to sign this voter registration form and sign this mail-in ballot, or you're going to be deported back to crotch rot jungle. That's exactly what they're going to tell them. It's going to be do or die.
I appreciate that. I suspect there's a lot more going on. But that's
and look, here's a great opportunity. If any of the listeners out there are in Denver, they've got a whole new thing set up where you can host migrants in your home. There's a hotline.
Isn't that?
If you would like to host some migrants in your home,
they're not migrants, William. They're invaders.
I'm just reading their evidence. They got a hotline.
I hear you. But these people who write these stories are still playing games. They won't tell it like it is. Here, okay, I've got the story from Watson. Do you have that story?
Watson.
That's the author. Here, the Democratic, the Democrat, accent rat, Run City of Denver is encouraging residents to host migrant families, invaders, in their homes, and has even set up a hotline, as William said, so people can volunteer to take in invaders who have nowhere else to go.
Isn't
Fox 31 Denver says that a charity calling itself Hope Has No Borders began pairing invader workers with their families with hosts in Colorado in late 2023. Now, with the help from the United Way, getting paired up is a simple phone call away by dialing 211. Yep, there you go.
I wonder if you could call up 211 and have them sent to your neighbor's house.
don't encourage people.
Do they deliver the migrants? Is it migrant delivery? I bet a Catholic charity van rolls up.
I don't know. Well, you just saw, what was it, United Way? There's another one that should be.
Well, let's talk about where the illegal voters are going to be most concentrated.
Okay. North Carolina.
But specifically in North Carolina, the hot spots are going to be Durham, North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina, and Mecklenburg County, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Now, these are all blue zones, but Charlotte's very tricky because big banks are in there. That's big bank territory. Truist, used to be BB&T, Wachovia, nicknamed Wachalovia. They're all right there in Charlotte. And Charlotte has been ground zero for illegal immigrant invaders for a long time through Rhino Republicans as well as Democrats. But they're going to be first of all, let's talk about the states. And this is one of the reasons that I think you're going to see Chicago and New York pressuring their illegal occupants to fan out and get out of there because they don't need their votes in L.A. They don't need their votes in Denver. They don't need their votes in Chicago.
Not in Washington. L.A. and Washington are gone.
Those places are already blue territory conquered. They're going to need the non-citizen Democrat voters in swing state North Carolina, swing state Georgia, swing state Pennsylvania, Michigan, and I think Wisconsin. I'm going to put this out as a formal announcement eventually. I've recently went through a podcast on YouTube that did, one of my podcasters support did a breakdown of how all the states are breaking by polling data. And by the polling data, numerous polls, Trump has a massive electoral advantage over Joe Biden right now, like almost 100 points. He's up against Biden. And but the swing states are the ones that the Democrats have any hope of turning back their way. And so that's where the non-citizen voters come in because they're looking at the polling data and like, oh, crap. A lot of our white and black and Hispanic Democrat voters don't like our position on immigration, don't like our position for all this trans genital mutilation of children crap, don't like our positions in favor of censorship, don't like our positions in favor of non-citizen voters. They don't like it, and they don't like inflation. Guess what? They don't like inflation. They don't like home prices they can't afford. They don't like, you know, the economy that's going on. It's economy stupid. They don't want to vote for Joe Biden. Who can we get? The students. Gen Z. Did you see James Carville? Back when I was a young college Democrat, long ago in 92, we thought James Carville was just him and Stephanopoulos, Mr. Snuffleupagus. They was so cool. You know, James Carville, he was so smart. He was like a big brain strategist, and you know, the cyber kids were going to the Clinton White House. James Carville looks like some type of corpse, and he's bad-mouthing Gen Z. Yeah. He's actually on video talking smack. Now, granted, maybe he's trying to do that, you know, tough love thing where he's being challenging to them about getting them out to vote for Biden or whatever. But, I mean, talk about disrespectful. Talk about a stupid idea. I mean, since when did a big-time Democrat consultant going on video bashing one of the major components of the Democratic Party, the youth vote, the college vote, since when was that a good idea? And, you know, from 20, 30 years ago, you know, I've talked to some of my old college buddies on this stuff. It blows our mind to think that we would see video of James Carville bashing the college voters. But he is, because they're not responding. So where are they going to get these votes from? Well, there's only one thing. We've got to use the nuclear election weapon. We got to vote all these illegals that we brought in here. And where are we going to use them? Well, we're not going to use them in places like, you know, Texas under Greg Abbott.
Well, they're being flown into swing states. You're correct. That's where they're being taken.
Well, but I'm trying to get into the psychology of where the Democrat and NGOs, where they're going to focus these votes so that we can describe these for people. We're going to write this up. We're going to circulate this. We're going to run this up the flagpole. They're going to move in the swing states where they have the most cover. Now, down in Georgia, they've got some Rhino and Democrat cover, but they've got a problem, and their biggest problem is last name is Raffensperger. Apparently, the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, is really hot to trot on this non-citizen voter thing. But they need Georgia, and the key to Georgia is going to be in Atlanta.
What is Raffensperger's position? What does he want to do?
Well, apparently there's some stuff that we don't even have on our list that I found early this afternoon. Here's a quick snippet. March 28, 2022, citizenship audit finds 1,634 non-citizens attempted to register to vote. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger has conducted the first citizenship review of Georgia's voter rolls in the state's history. The review found 1,634 people attempted to register to vote who were not able to be verified by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Here's another one. Raffensperger thanks former President Trump and Speaker Johnson for supporting his efforts against non-citizen voting. So we got a watchdog in Georgia, but they need Georgia. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to operate in the Democrat blue zones. To get away with this type of mass felony theft of election, they need the following. Solid Democrat control of the city council. Solid Democrat control of the police. Solid Democrat control of the news outlets, newspapers, you know, video news. Those are the main solids that they got to have, the council, the cops, and the media. They prefer to have a Democrat governor and a Democrat sheriff as well, and county commission control. And in some places, they have stuff like that, especially in places like Illinois, you know, where, like, the big city of Chicago has dominated the rest of the red Republican state of Illinois so badly that, you know, they've drawn the districts and everything else. But they're gonna want to conduct this operation in the places they are safest, that they have the most support. So Georgia, Atlanta, North Carolina, Durham, Charlotte, Greensboro, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, that's where they'll hit in Philadelphia. Michigan, they'll hit Detroit hard and maybe a couple other spots. And then I got to take a closer look at Wisconsin, you know, to figure out where they're going to make their move in Wisconsin. I don't think they're going to try major moves in Texas and Florida because of the Republican governors there that are going to be on alert. Arizona, they're going to probably make a big move in Phoenix. And one place that we know they're going to use to take Nevada is Clark County, Las Vegas. They got so many illegals in there.
I know.
And they've been rigging the elections for the Democrats ever since they reelected Harry Reid. Harry Reid in 2010 went into his reelection campaign with a 7% approval level against Tea Party candidate Sharon Angle that we endorsed. He went into that race with a 7% approval, lost every county in Nevada except for Clark.
It's a one county
Clark
state.
County came out and hit hard. And then we got the emails that were leaked out. Mm-hmm. Emails from casino and restaurant and hotel owners,
right. The
top brass, to their middle managers, saying, hey, we know everybody that works in your kitchen. We know everybody that works on your housekeeping staff. We know everybody that works under you, old middle manager. And we are comparing this to the voter turnout rolls, and your people haven't voted yet. And they're like, well, I don't know, boss. I don't think these people are citizens. Well, you know, do you like this job? Do you want to keep it? Because the van is going to roll up after the lunch rush at 2 o'clock. It's going to be outside your kitchen, driven by some SEIU or sub-level union worker or an NGOer, and you're going to stick your illegal alien, you know, table busters and chefs into this van, and they're going down to vote for Harry Reid. They've done it. They've perfected it. There's no safeguards to defend against it. People are not able to prosecute against it. The states, their hands have been tied about it. But we know where it's going to happen. And so where Alipac, our experience and our data collection, we're not only going to hand these lawmakers ammunition, political ammunition, to fight back against claims that this isn't a problem, and candidates to hand them that stuff. We're going to hand them a map of saying this is where they're going to do it. Hey, James O'Keefe, Mr., you know, secret video dude, this is where they're going to do it. Because it's not going to be just during early voting when all the mail-in ballots start floating in. They've got to register the new illegals at least 30 days prior to the election.
I just can't understand how these people are getting away with registering invaders. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's very simple. Just you either go online and print up.
Happens. I get it. But where's the political reality of a nation state with a constitution here? Where is it?
Well, I mean, I guess when people created the laws and voted on the laws before now, they never really thought somebody would sneak in millions of illegal aliens and then use them to overthrow the election.
Yeah, they never even thought, period. That's correct. Here's Steve Watson talking about this Denver thing, just for a little comic relief here. Hold on.
Let's get to know one of them.
No, mamá huevito, que me vieron.
All right, he's got a picture of invaders at the border fence. And he says, well, let's get to know one of them. All right.
New neighbors. Let's get to know one of them.
No, mamá huevito, que me vieron en el Walmart.
Seems like a nice guy.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States.
And remember, they're just here to do the jobs that Americans don't want to do.
Venezuelan migrant bragged about living off of U.S. taxpayer money.
I confess I don't like to work because it gives me allergies.
Oh, yeah, that's Paul Joseph Watson.
Who knew bone idle laziness was an allergy? Meet Venezuelan migrant influencer Lionel Moreno.
All right, anyway, you get the idea.
Yeah, that's Paul Joseph Watson.
Yeah, I know.
And he's one of the pro-America podcasters that we support at Alipac.
Yeah, I have an idea. Rather than use the deceptive, I'll be polite, labels, Republican and Democrat, let's simply register and analyze each elected politician and their voting record up against the Constitution and give them a number. Call it a political reality score, not a social credit score. But how does their vote stack up with the Constitution? Just give them a number. They can call themselves Republicans, Democrats. The Democrat, 61. Republican, 78. Republican, 22. Let's rank them by their votes in terms of patriotism and the Constitution. They should have a rating. That would help people find out the rhinos from the real Republicans, if there is such a thing anymore. But let's give them a number based on their voting record. Why not? I think it's a practical idea. Then we'll know where somebody stands. No?
Well, Well, the language we're going to use is invasion votes. We need to stop invasion votes. It should be the Stop Invasion Voters Act.
Well, I'm just talking about giving politicians their due. If they're frauds, they should be labeled as such. You know, give them a number. Are your votes constitutional or are they not? It'd be fairly easy to figure out. Anyway, that's just a little idle banter there. All right, so what's next? What do we look for next? And what do you need ALEPAC folks to do right now?
Well, we need to get the awareness level of this bill and everything up and get all the stuff rolling and support it. And they're trying to figure out when they're going to vote for it to see how much time we've got, because we're looking at this broadcast is on May 8th. I think this is one that a lot of the people who support the show will like and probably post copies of and direct a lot of people to this conversation, because we've had a lot of important current info in today's conversation that can be useful to people. And we've got to figure out that vote because, you know, it's Mother's Day weekend, and then Memorial Day weekend's coming up at the end of May. So the earliest ALEPAC could hope to get on the ground in D.C. would be 2 weeks from now, the week of May 20th through 24th. So we'll have to see what level of support there is for the ground op. But we're definitely going to launch the phone ops here soon and get that rolling. So if folks aren't on the ALEPAC.us email alerts yet, please do at ALIPAC.us. And let's go try to stop some non-citizen voters.
Good. A constitutional rating for each politician. I like the idea. Back soon. Thank you, William. Good luck. Keep me posted. I'm here.
Thank you.
All right. Back in the Flash Gang. Hang on. Lots ahead.